other. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now. Good morning, everyone. Patrick Conley with you here again on the Rediscover Hour. I hope you're doing well as we get on into the month of November. You know what? It's actually starting to feel like late fall, early winter out there. And I suppose it's about time for it. So it's a good thing, especially as we're coming up on the end of the liturgical year. We're coming up on the Solemnity of Christ the King, where we celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ as King of the Universe. And then we kick off with Advent. And of course, a wonderful thing to do as the new year begins is to celebrate, right? And I thought I'd give you a little new year gift today from the words of Hilaire Belloc, a little rhyme that he put together was, "Wherever the Catholic sun doth shine, there's always laughter and good red wine. At least I've always found it so. Benedicamus Domino." Yeah, well, we are going to talk about wine today, but not that kind of wine. We're going to talk about the women in the new evangelization movement, and we've got a great show on tap for you today. We are going to speak with Kelly Walquist, who is the founder of Wine. We're going to speak with Stephanie Lansom, who has been a contributor to a new publication that's just come out from Ave Maria Press, and it is called Walk in Her Sandals, Experiencing Christ's Passion Through the Eyes of Women. So looking at the passion of our Lord through the eyes of women. So we're going to talk about, with both of them as how this project came about, what riches are in store for the reader as they dig into this wonderful new book. And then also joining us on the phone will be another contributor to this book, and that'll be Sarah Christmeyer, who wrote the scripture reflections for this particular book. And then along near the end of the hour, we're going to be speaking over the phone also with Sister Lisa Maurer. Now, have you heard of Sister Lisa Maurer before? She is she's a Catholic nun, and she's also a college football coach. That's right, you heard me right. She's a Catholic nun and a college football coach at the College of St. Scholastica. And so we are going to have a one-on-one conversation with her as well and get some insights from her, as she's going to be the keynote speaker at a wine event, a Women, Wine, and Wisdom event coming up on December the 1st. So that's just around the corner as well. Looking forward to this great, great show today, where we have all these wonderful women of faith joining us, and I think it's only right and good that we should, as always, pause for a second and commit this show to the intercession of our Blessed Mother. So let us pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we will be back in just a moment with both Kelly Walquist and with Stephanie Lensom. We look forward to seeing you on the other side of the break. Rediscover.
In the constantly changing world of technology, LCI in the Twin Cities offers an experienced staff and knowledge to service and maintain the current technology at your company. LCI also provides this message in support of Catholic ministries in our area.
NPH USA, formerly Friends of the Orphans, is transforming the lives of thousands of abandoned and orphaned children in Latin America with homes, healthcare, and educational programs. You can help a child overcome poverty and become a leader in their own community by becoming a sponsor. To learn more, please visit nphusa.org or call 651-482-1703.
LCI supports local Catholic ministries, including Relevant Radio. Large and small business owners find a cost-effective IT solution by calling LCI 763-425-7567 or lci-online.com.
Raise a glass to friendship and knowing you don't have to go alone. We'll raise our hearts to share each other's burdens on the
welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Once again, we are talking about wine today, women in the new evangelization, and we are joined with its founder, Kelly Wahlquist, here. She's an author, a speaker, an evangelist, and again, and also the assistant director of here locally, the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute. So, Kelly, it's great to have you in studio. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here. It's always great to start a morning with wine, isn't it?
I better plead the fifth on that one, I'm afraid.
And well, yeah. Women in the new evangelization.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes. So that kind of wine, it's wonderful to start a morning that way. So, Kelly, just in case some of our listeners aren't aware of what wine is, can you give us just a snapshot? What is wine and what's the vision?
Well, wine, although we started with a really great quote, right? It's not about the wine we drink. It really is scriptural, and it's very sacramental-based. It finds its roots in John 2:5, which is Mary's final words to us in sacred scripture, where she says, do whatever he tells you, which is, she's telling us, do the will of God, do the will of God. And as women, we are created radically relational. I mean, we're all created in and for relationship, right? We're created in the heart of the Father to return back to that most perfect familiar relationship of the Trinity. But as women, I contend that we are created radically relational. And so what wine is it's inviting women into relationship with other women, meeting them where they're at, truly in their need, so we can go deeper in our relationship with the Lord. Because as women, we're all given these great gifts, and I know we'll talk about them a little bit later too when we talk about the book, but we're given these gifts in our womanhood that are gifts of receptivity and sensitivity and generosity and maternal gifts. Mm. So whether you're a physical mother or not, you've been given these gifts. We've all been given the gift to be a spiritual mother. And those are gifts that help us nurture and encourage one another. So what wine wants to do is bring women into a setting where we can do that. We can encourage, support, nurture each other on this journey from blessing to blessing.
Right. And I know that wine does this in a number of ways. So events, and we'll talk about the book in a moment. And is it kind of a multi, there's a multi number of ways that you reach out in this way?
Yeah. Women kind of multitask, don't they?
Yeah. Obviously, I'm not very good at it, but...
I was on the radio earlier this morning, and Monsignor had said something about the book. He said, it just sounds, when all these great pieces coming together, it sounds like women just multitasking and taking care of everything. And he said, I can't do that. I can't multitask.
Right, right.
And it's a bunch of different aspects that come together. The Holy Spirit can speak to us in so many different ways. Mm. You know, at every moment and every opportunity, God is using that and through his Spirit to draw us closer to him. So we wanted to reach women where they're at and in different ways. You know, some of are the events. Mm-hmm. Our event where we were talking about earlier with the Women, Wine, and Wisdom, that is a fun event. Mm. You know, that's our theology on tap, kind of, you know, for women. And that one does have wine, if you'd like. It also has pop and coffee and water and whatever you'd like. But that is kind of a fun event that goes out and meets women where they're at. You know, our first one was Why We Need Jerry Springer in Reality TV.
Oh, nice.
You know, and we packed the joint. But it was on confession.
Yeah.
You know, it was on, we have this need to confess our sins.
Wow.
So it was great. It was great to see all those women come together.
Right. So anybody who's interested in learning more about all the things that are on offer, I'm assuming wine has a website.
Oh, we do. Okay. CatholicVineyard.com.
Oh,
how's
that
for a name?
Sounds pretty appropriate. Yeah, CatholicVineyard.com.
I can't believe the bishops didn't have that one.
that's very good. Well, let's shift our focus now to this new book that's just come out that you served as editor for, a contributor for, obviously, Walk in Her Sandals, Experiencing Christ's Passion Through the Eyes of Women. Sounds fascinating to me. I've had a glance at the book anyway. I love the way it's laid out. I love the thought behind it. But give us a little bit of the background about how the whole idea for this book came about.
Right. It really is the Holy Spirit. I give complete credit to the Holy Spirit. People ask me, how do you know when God is speaking to you? How do you hear the voice of the shepherd? And one of the ways I know is that the download is so quick and so fast that I can't write fast enough when I'm hearing the voice of the shepherd. And that's what happened with the idea for this book. It happened on Good Friday, and I was praying, and the choir was singing. Now, I'm going to give you a little insight into my prayer life, and you're going to see it's not this great Gregorian chant or, you know, am I singing psalms or anything like that. It's pretty basic, and I hope the Lord smiles. But my prayer that day truly was, you know, I'm hearing the choir sing, stay with me, remain here with me, watch and pray. You know that?
Mm-hmm,
okay, so it's beautiful. And they sing it over and over. And as I was hearing it in my prayer, I was saying, this is stupid. Why are we praying this? This is so yesterday. This is so Garden of Gethsemane. Hmm. Lord, you're dead. You're buried. Who's watching? Who's praying? And all of a sudden, one thought after another flooded my mind and my heart. And I just instantly jumped to, well, there is someone watching and praying. Mary. Yeah. You know, the disciples are terrified. The women are broken. I mean, everyone's broken. Their Lord, their Savior was just humiliated and murdered in the most horrific way. And they don't know what their future holds. Right. And Mary's watching and praying with them. And then my thoughts jump to, it's kind of cool that we can enter into Jesus's passion, death, and resurrection through the eyes of Mary. You know, we do it through the rosary, right? Yeah. And through the Stations of the Cross. And if you saw the Passion of the Christ, I mean, I was puffy for a week. You can't not cry when you're watching through the eyes of the mother.
It's amazing.
You know, remember the scene where he falls and it goes back to him being a three-year-old? I mean, it's like, ah. So we do enter into Jesus's passion, death, resurrection with Mary in a way. And then I thought, what if we could do that as women? In the gifts we've been given in our womanhood, and instantly I had the whole thing laid out within 1 minute. And I got home and was mind mapping as fast as I could, because I knew the women that I needed to call to be part of this. All that was given to me.
Yeah, tell us some about that. How did you, obviously it was an inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but how did you go about selecting the women who would contribute to the book?
It all just came to me. I don't even think I selected. I think I just wrote down because I knew what I wanted. It was so intricate, and I can't believe that it's so beautiful now how it came together. That is the work of the Spirit, right? That's the glory of God manifested right there. But my first phone call went to Sarah Chrismeyer.
Yeah.
And I explained the whole thing to her. Sarah, I was praying. I told the Lord, this is stupid, you know, and here's what he gave me back.
Well, let me give you something that's not stupid.
Let me give you something not stupid, right. And I'm going to have you run with it.
Yeah.
And I said, here's what I want, Sarah. You know, I see it maybe as a book, and it's 6 weeks, and we're going to start with Palm Sunday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, the Resurrection, and then Pentecost. And I said, Sarah, can you give me the nuggets of Scripture? You know, for each of those. For Palm Sunday, tell me why it's the month of Nisan. Tell me about the sacrificial flock being brought in at the exact same time. Why are we yelling Hosanna? Why do a king's feet not touch the ground when he's coming into a new country? You know, I'm like, can you give me all these nuggets? And she said, I'm in.
Yeah.
And my next call went to Stephanie Lansom, who is the most gifted biblical fiction writer I know. And I said, Stephanie, can you put me there?
Right.
Can you put me on the streets so I'm being jostled and I'm hearing the sounds and I'm smelling the smells and I'm right there. I'm really experiencing this as a woman.
Right.
And she, well, we'll be talking to her later, but you'll know she hit it out of the park, right?
Yeah.
And then I called Pat Goon, and she's the author of Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious. Mm. And I said, Pat, can you explain to me a gift? Mm. You know, let's say we've got Palm Sunday, the gift of receptivity. What does that mean? What does it mean that women are built with this gift, really? Right. And to be receptive, and to be receptive on Palm Sunday, to allow Jesus to enter into your heart the way he entered into Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And she said, I'm so in, you know? And then my thought went instantly to, okay, but what does this mean for us women now, 2,000 years later? I mean, what Stephanie gives us is phenomenal, and we're right there. But how do I tie in those characters that walked with Jesus into my walk today? And so I called a couple friends to do reflections, and, who did we start with? We had Lisa Hendy from Catholic Mom, Teresa Tamio, and Teresa did generosity. I said, you know, Teresa, you come from an Italian family. You can do Holy Thursday. We're talking a meal here, right? You know, nice. That sounds Italian.
Yeah, with wine.
With wine, yes. Right. Yeah. And so she did what she called her holy cannoli moment. You know, so it's a nice, short little reflection. Kitty Cleveland, Barbara Heil, and I did one on prayer, and Laura Sobiak. Laura Sobiak did a really beautiful reflection on Good Friday. And then after that, it was, okay, how do we bring this really into our heart? How do we take Scripture and really bring it to the depths of our heart? So we have a Lectio Divina, because in wine, women in the new evangelization, we always want things to be soaked in Scripture and prayer. Mm. We want everything just to be soaked in Scripture and prayer. And so we have Lectio Divina. And then, as we said earlier, you know, I was telling you, women are radically relational. We want to give women an opportunity to do this in community. So we've got questions and then action items at the end to go out and actually live for study groups.
Yeah.
So it's set up to be one of our Read Between the Wines book clubs.
I love it. My guest is Kelly Wahlquist here as we're speaking about a new publication that's just come out, Walk in Her Sandals, Experiencing Christ's Passion Through the Eyes of Women. She was just explaining the number of contributors that have given pieces of this work, and we're privileged. We've already mentioned, Kelly's already mentioned Stephanie Lansom. She is here in studio with us as well, as she's local here to the Twin Cities area. Good morning, Stephanie. Good to have you with us.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Now, Stephanie, you provided the fictional piece of Walk in Her Sandals, the way of imagining what it would have been like for particular women who were walking with Christ during his passion. But before we get to that, and I do want to get to that, but now writing in biblical fiction is not a new thing for you. Correct?
No, I've been doing it for a while. I have three books out of biblical fiction, and it's amazing, as Kelly was saying, how this came together so perfectly. I knew Kelly a couple years before this book came out, and I wrote these stories really of women who maybe were mentioned in the Bible briefly, or even had, you know, a lot written about them in the Bible, but we really didn't know their stories, their whole stories. And that's what I wanted to write about, like the woman at the well. What happened to her? Why was she there at the well? And then what happened when she encountered Jesus? So that's really what these books are about. You know, encountering Jesus, how it transformed a woman's life and her family, of course. And so it ties in just perfectly with Walk in Her Sandals and what we did there. So, yeah.
Right. I obviously there's an evangelistic approach to all of these things, right? As you're imagining what it would have happened to these particular women, the encounter with the Lord is what you're trying to help to manifest, to make real in the lives of the readers. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, what would it have been like to have Jesus walk up to you and ask for water at the well? How would it have changed you? Because it couldn't have been just a little incident in your life. It had to be, you know, completely life-changing. And that's what I wanted to talk about in my books.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit of maybe page out of Ignatian imagination there.
Absolutely,
into it.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And okay, so let's talk about the story that you put together for Walk in Her Sandals. Of course, we want people to read the book, so I don't want you to give us all the story. But
don't worry.
But tell us about the story there. You know, give us a teaser here. What's gonna draw us in there?
Well, I'll start off by saying when Kelly called me, I loved the idea, just loved it. And also, you don't say no to Kelly Wahlquist, by the way.
Please tell that to my husband.
No one does. No, but it was a great idea. And I immediately thought of it as not, you know, five stories or six stories of women, but as a novella. About a family of women who were already related to each other and knew each other, because we all have those women's groups. You know, we have our sisters, our mothers, our sister-in-laws, and I wanted them all to be related to each other and interacting with each other as they kind of tried to figure out who Jesus was and what he meant to them. As you know, during the Passion Week especially, there was so much confusion going on in Jerusalem, and confusion and uncertainty about his ministry. And of course, these women had differing opinions because none of our family and friends always agree with us. And so there's not only what about Jesus, but how is this going to fit in with what, you know, the people I live with, the women that I interact with every day.
Right.
And so that's kind of what I was trying to bring out in this story.
Yeah, it's a great reminder that the people that we live with on a day-to-day basis, we don't always get along with or don't always agree with, especially if we've got Thanksgiving around the corner here. So that's a good reminder. But honestly, as I had a look, I can't claim comprehensive knowledge, but I did have a look through the first chapter at least of the book, and one of the things that really impressed me about it from your contribution, Stephanie, was that these women are related. You imagine in these relationships between the women. And that, for me, that added a whole new dimension of the reality of being there. It's cheesy, but I'm going to take the the title, of walking in her sandals, right? Of being there, walking in the shoes of these women who experienced this. Was that something that, I mean, is that something that you try to do in all your fiction, or is that kind of unique to this particular book?
No, I think it's really important in all fiction. Mm. I mean, because fiction engages our imaginations and therefore our emotions. And so what we try to do, if I've done my job correctly, is you're there. Like, you are there with Veronica, feeling that, watching Jesus suffer and feeling that compassion.
Right.
Or you're there with Anna as she encounters the Holy Spirit. So, yeah, it's always about, you know, entering into that and the people around, with the people around you in the fictional world. Yeah.
I just want to affirm that she has really done her job correctly, especially when she talks about Veronica. I've been giving retreats in the last probably 2 months, and just by the grace of God, one morning I was reading through this, and I thought, I'm going to throw this into the retreat. And so I read just probably a page and a half of the story of Veronica, the moment she sees Jesus, mm-hmm. and what goes through her mind, that emotion that wells up within her. And as I'm reading it in front of like 500 people, I'm doing my best in my head saying, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry, you know, so I can get through it. Mm-hmm. And I looked up, and here are these women with just these beautiful smiles and tears just running down their cheeks. Mm-hmm. And you realize at that moment that they really entered in.
Right.
They entered into the story.
Right. I think one of the beauties and gifts of this book is specifically how you do take different genres, different aspects of it from the narrative itself, the scriptural narrative. You know, reading through that, we have the fictional narrative that Stephanie's contributed to. We've had the exposition, the catechesis. We also have the scriptural study. And then we have the discussion questions. We have the prayers. It's really hitting us at all angles, and I think obviously that was kind of the intention.
Yeah, I think so too. And Alison Gingras said it best. She said, "You know what? I think that this book is a scripture study, it's a novel,
yeah.
it's catechesis,
yeah.
all wrapped in one." And then I think of those last two, and I said, "And Alison, it's an encounter with the Lord. It's an encounter with the Lord, and then it's also an opportunity to grow in community." Mm. And it's done very smoothly. These women are so gifted and work so well together.
That's a great point. And Kelly Wahlquist and Stephanie Lansom are my guests in studio. We're going to take a little bit of a break right now, but we're going to be back with another contributing author to this particular book, the one who contributed the scripture study. Sarah Christmeyer is going to join us on the phone, and Kelly and Stephanie are going to stay with me, so you stay with me too. Rediscover.
The expanded offices of James Kohler Family Dentistry in North St. Paul offer you the chance to experience gentle and cosmetic dentistry with a dentist who is pro-family and pro-life.
I'm Dr. James Kohler, inviting you to try Kohler Family Dentistry. We specialize in gentle and comfortable dentistry. From semi-annual cleanings, cosmetic dentistry, even crowns can be done in one visit at our North St. Paul office. We can also remove old amalgam fillings and replace them with beautiful new composite fillings. We welcome Relevant Radio listeners as new patients.
Appointments are available this week by calling 651-777-6454. 651-777-6454.
I share your Catholic values and look forward to introducing you to our experienced staff providing modern dental techniques comfortably and conveniently. You can find out more at relevantradio.com. Enter the keyword dentist.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you today as we're talking with Kelly Wahlquist, Stephanie Lansom, and Sarah Christmeyer. Will join us just in a moment on the phone as we're talking about a new book that's just come out, Walk in Her Sandals, Experiencing Christ's Passion Through the Eyes of Women. This is a great kind of multi-faced book that brings you at the lens or the Christ's Passion through the lens of the eyes of women in a number of ways through specifically through the scripture itself, through the Stephanie has contributed a fictional account of looking at these things, these events of Christ's passion through the eyes of fictional women, some catechesis of what does this mean today through prayers, et cetera, et cetera. It sounds like a really, truly great devotional and study tool. And as I said, joining us now is the woman who contributed the scripture piece of the book. Sarah Christmeyer joins us on the phone. Sarah, good morning to you.
Good morning, Patrick.
Hope you're doing well today. You're in Philadelphia, is that correct?
I am, and I understand you have snow. We have sun and 70 degrees, so I could send some of that to you.
Yes, please do send it this way. Yeah. Where we're sitting right now in the studio, the snow hasn't quite hit yet, but it's bearing down on us, I believe. Yeah, well, let's tell us a little bit about yourself, Sarah. I know that you have a number of different things that you've been involved with. You're an author, you're a Bible teacher, and you helped to develop the Great Adventure Bible Study with Jeff Cavins, right?
Yes, I did. Yes, I am a convert, and probably about 25 years now. And I met Jeff about 20 years ago when I was looking to try to open up the scripture to Catholics. I didn't know very many Catholics who were really reading the Bible at that point. And he and I began working together back then. And it's just been a great thing, developing the Great Adventure and helping people to be able to read the Bible themselves as they learn to understand the big picture of the Bible, and then how to read it for themselves, and to meet Jesus there and to hear him talk to them.
Right. Your love for the scriptures has shown through in a number of different ways. I know you love Lectio Divina, and that you also teach scripture. Is that right? At St. Charles Borromeo Seminary?
I do. I have a course for the seminarians who are in their spirituality year. It's an overview of the scripture, and we get a chance to really get in and look at the story and consider how it relates to our lives. It's a wonderful opportunity.
So you were definitely an obvious choice for a contributing author to this Walk in Her Sandals, specifically along the scriptural lines and some of the points, the exegesis and things that were done there with the scriptural pieces. But tell me a little bit about, Stephanie has already told us that nobody says no to Kelly Walquist, but perhaps that's all that needs to be said. But tell us a little bit about how you got involved with this Walk in Her Sandals project.
Oh, wow. I have known Kelly for almost as long as I've known Jeff and have worked with her for a long time. She worked with us in The Great Adventure, and we just kind of naturally talk about most of the projects we're doing together. So I think I just kind of fell into it. And as Stephanie said, you don't say no to Kelly.
Right.
Except if I say clean your room.
I wouldn't have thought of saying no. It was such a wonderful project from the start. And I think that my heart just immediately leapt at the idea of being able to draw people into the scripture that way during Lent. I thought it was a fabulous idea that the Lord was clearly behind. So I would not have said no.
Yeah, and actually, just a little sidebar here. I mean, maybe we haven't explicitly stated it yet, I don't think, that certainly this is experiencing Christ's passion. So there is a, Kelly, I'll ask you, it has a Lenten flavor about it, doesn't it?
It does. It absolutely does. But it's something you can read any time of the year.
Sure.
And, you know, I did say that the idea came to me on Good Friday. Mm-hmm. And as it turned out to be, it was the following Good Friday where I was putting in the final manuscript. And I honestly believe, and I think the women that wrote the book with me will concur, that every Good Friday or every Lent, you can go through this, and you're going to be at a different place on your journey, and it's going to hit you in a different way.
Right, right. So. Excellent. Sarah, back to you. So did this particular project, I know obviously you've done scripture work in a number of different ways and affecting a number of different audiences and that sort of thing. I'm just curious if this particular project of Walk in Her Sandals and doing the exegetical work, the writing that you've done for it, did it have any effect on your own faith, on your own personal faith life?
It was a very profound experience. I think bringing the other women into it had a lot to do with that, because I normally work pretty much on my own. Obviously, a great deal of prayer goes into it, and I grow a lot every time I study and read and pray and listen deeply to the Lord before I start writing. So there's always growth that happens in that way. But the way it was different for me was then getting together with Stephanie and Pat in particular afterward and seeing where they were going and watching how the Holy Spirit wove all of our pieces together and the way each one, when you go in order through the chapters, each one brings you deeper and deeper into an experience of not only the passion, but a personal experience of being there and bearing the fruits of that experience. And I don't think I had ever felt that before in quite the same way.
Right. The collaborative nature of this is something that I think lends to the gem that it is, that has become. And actually, during the break, just before you came on, Sarah, both Kelly and Stephanie were talking about that there was certainly a sense of the collaborative effort, even though you're in three different places. Stephanie, you're here in the Twin Cities. Sarah, you're there in Philadelphia, and Pat's in Boston. Is that correct? Yeah. Yeah. And yet, even through just kind of a little bit of interaction, you really saw, that's what Stephanie was just telling us, is that you really saw the Holy Spirit tying these things together. Stephanie, is that accurate? Is that something that you experienced?
Absolutely. And just the timeline, too. I've never been able to write so quickly and so clearly and not had to edit a whole lot. It just came very naturally. And then dovetailed perfectly with what everyone else was writing. It was just unbelievable.
And that was the beauty of, like, even our editor, Heidi, said, you know, we turned it all in on that Good Friday, and Heidi's a wonderful editor, and she got it, and she was just like, this barely needs anything. These women are just so gifted. And where Stephanie did such a great job in bringing in the emotion through the fiction, Sarah did a tremendous job of giving us those highlights of Scripture, and at the same time, what's going on in that liturgical year and what's going on in our hearts. One of my favorite things, Sarah, and maybe you can talk about this, that Sarah wrote is during Good Friday. And she talks about contradiction, and she opens up the Scripture with that there's the contradiction that Good Friday begins and ends in a garden. And Sarah, can you talk just a little bit about contradiction on that day that we call Good Friday?
Yeah. As I was reading the various scriptures for Good Friday and just trying to put myself there and thinking deeply about what it was all about, that really struck me that it begins and ends in darkness in a garden. And, I mean, just like Scripture begins and ends in a garden, there's this garden theme that goes all the way through Scripture. And usually the gardens are reminiscent in some way of Eden, but here I think, particularly when you have the garden at the end where Jesus is buried, you know, it shows the reality of what the garden is like under the effects of the fall. So in Golgotha, we've got the tomb. You know, it's a place of death. It's barren. Instead of trees in that garden, we have crosses planted. And it's just this hideous, bleak picture of life without Christ. And even in Gethsemane, the garden that we begin in, the word Gethsemane means olive press. And it occurred to me that here Jesus is entering the olive press, and he is being crushed and pressured like never before, to the point that he's sweating blood, you know, like the way olives sweat olive oil as they're being crushed. And this olive oil, you know, brings healing, it brings food, and it brings light. And Jesus, his death and his being crushed brings all of these things to us. And then we see how in Golgotha, the way he's restoring the garden back to, not just back to Eden, but moving forward to an even better way, is that he actually plants himself in the garden. He plants himself there where he dies, only to rise up to new life, to replant a new garden and restore creation. And I just thought, I love the imagery. If you take long enough to read Scripture and really think about it and ponder it, the words come alive in a new way, particularly these ones that have physical aspects related to them. And it adds an enormous richness, I think, to our understanding of what the Scripture is telling us.
No question. Stephanie, over to you for a question then. Speaking again of the collaborative effort that you've done here, how would you tie in the fictional account with what Sarah was just talking about in terms of specifically this kind of garden imagery and what the garden, how it brings life, these two different portrayals of the garden?
That's really, I think, the beauty of fiction is that you can really insinuate a lot. in setting and description that brings about emotions. And I don't really know how to explain it any other way, but just the words you use can infer all sorts of emotional types of things just while you're describing a garden or describing the street in Jerusalem or the crucifixion, you know, at Golgotha. So it was amazing how almost we used some of the very same words,
mm-hmm.
me describing an event and a location, you know, describing physical things, and Sarah describing, you know, talking about emotional and spiritual matters. So it was amazing to see how our vocabularies kind of work together.
Right, right. And it's almost like a symphony, right? You have mm-hmm. the different instruments playing their own individual parts, which alone would likely be beautiful in and of themselves. In fact, Kelly, I'm going to out you a little bit here. You said that on a flight recently, you were reading through just the fictional account, which
right.
I suppose is you know, something that you can do with the book, right? You could do just the scripture studies or just the fictional account, maybe look at it differently that way. But I think the beauty of it is that it goes from one piece to the next, and so that you can see the symphony come together all in the same way. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think that what we saw and how it really fits so nicely, where Sarah's talking about this contradiction on Good Friday in the garden, and then Stephanie's writing about another contradiction on Good Friday, and she's writing about Veronica and wiping the face of Jesus, this dirty, blood-stained face. And the contradiction being what comes from that is this beautiful, gorgeous image of him on this mm-hmm. cloth. And so it all tied together. Like the themes just really flowed perfectly.
Wonderful. The book is Walk in Her Sandals, Experiencing Christ's Passion Through the Eyes of Women. We've been joined by Kelly Walquist, Stephanie Lansom, and Sarah Christmeyer today to speak about this particular book. Kelly, if folks are interested in picking up the book, where might they find it?
They can go to catholicvineyard.com. And one of the beautiful things about this book is that all of the authors have given of their time, talent, and their treasure, in that all proceeds, everything from this book goes back to WINE, which is a nonprofit,
right.
And is really here because of time, talent, and treasure.
Yeah.
You know, so if you purchase the book, you can get it at catholicvineyard.com. Sarah Christmeyer right now is writing a journal that'll be ready right after the first of the year. So you can do this in your small groups. You can become a member of WINE and start a new WINE group. And you can do this in a group and have the journaling aspect, which is another really important aspect that we'll have a whole nother show to talk about someday, right?
Right, sure.
When the journal comes out, Sarah, we're putting a little pressure on you now. So you can do it in the small group setting. And it'll fit perfectly for Lent.
Wonderful. Ladies, thank you all for joining me here today on the Rediscover Hour. It's been fabulous. And again, one more time, the book is Walk in Her Sandals, Experiencing Christ's Passion Through the Eyes of Women. I encourage you to check it out. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you,
Patrick.
We're going to take a brief break, and then we're going to be back with Sister Maurer from St. Scholastica, who is a Catholic nun and football coach. So stay with us.
Rediscover.
Why wait when you can get an instant tire rebate from Westside Tire? Now through November 30th, purchase a set of eligible Bridgestone or Firestone tires and get a $50 rebate instantly. Westside Tire in Corcoran. Call 763-420-2100. That's 763-420-2100. Or visit us online at westsidetire.net. Offer applies to retail purchases on select Bridgestone and Firestone tires. Rebate provided as a line item discount on tire purchase invoice. Offer ends November 30th. See store for details and eligible tires.
In a crackling fire, it's there, bubbling at the headwaters of the Mississippi, glowing inside the canvas walls of a yurt, basking by the lake at one of Minnesota's classic resorts, tuning its strings, taking the stage 1,000 feet below the earth in an underground state park, and whispering through the trees at Teteguch. It's magic, and it's waiting to be discovered only in Minnesota. Visit exploreminnesota.com.
Well, Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. In this late November day, we are celebrating the end of the liturgical year with wine. That's right, Women in the New Evangelization. It's wonderful to have had Kelly Walkers and Stephanie Lansom in studio with us, and Sarah Christmeyer joining us on the phone as they're talking about this new book offering, Walk in Her Sandals. And wine also has, Kelly alluded to this before, a fun event coming up on Thursday, December 1st. It's going to take place at the Royal Cliff Banquet and Conference Center in Eagan. And the keynote speaker is going to be Sister Lisa Maurer, who joins us on the phone today. She is both a Catholic nun and a college football coach. Good morning, Sister.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
All is well up here in Duluth, I have to admit.
Yeah, really? Are you catching any of this weather that's coming through today?
Right now, it's just a little rain and mist. We're waiting for the snow to come.
Oh, that's not so bad then, is it? Especially for Duluth. I've seen some pretty nasty weather come through Duluth myself. No, it's great to have you on today. So, okay, so we have to ask you, I know you probably get asked this about 1,000 times a day, but how did you get involved with football and how did you become a football coach?
Well, before I entered the monastery, I was a teacher and a coach in Catholic schools all in southern Minnesota, mostly in the Diocese of New Ulm. And when I entered the monastery, it just so happened that football started about the same time, and my liking to sports and my interest in them drew me to the football field, and before you knew it, I forged a relationship with the team. A couple years ago, a new coach came on the scene, and he thought, hey, with your interest and your talents and your abilities, will you help us out? And so, with the permission of my prioress and with God's grace, I said yes, and here we are today.
Wow, wonderful. And you, is it right that you are the kicking coach for College St. Scholastica?
Right, yeah. So I'm an assistant coach with responsibilities for the kickers and punters.
Kickers and punters. Wow. And that ties in well with this December 1st event that's coming in, which is titled, Women, Wine, and Wisdom Event, Ever Feel Like You Want to Punt, Tackling Life with Joy? And obviously, you must have been in mind as this event was put together. Can you give us a little bit of an insight or a little bit of a preview as to what you intend to be talking about at this event, Sister?
Right. You know, well, with punting in football, if you're not going to punt, you better have a playbook to help you move the ball. And so in life, when things are difficult and you're faced with a fourth down and you feel like giving up in your spiritual life or this or that, you need to have a playbook. And I'm going to talk about the fact that in your playbook in your spiritual life are the values that we have. And so I'm going to talk about how hospitality and stewardship and having respect and justice in your life can be those go-to things to help you to move your spiritual life ahead and obtain your goal of a beautiful unity with God, our Father.
That's wonderful. So give us a little bit of an insight, too, about how has football played into your own personal faith life? I mean, maybe in some of these same ways, but your love for the game, your love for coaching and that sort of thing, how has that helped to develop your own relationship with the Lord, your own, obviously, the vows that you've taken, fulfilling and living this life of faith?
It's really been an extension of my life as a Benedictine sister, because as Benedictines, we are about responding to the needs of the world and our community and the people around us. And as a Benedictine sister at St. Scholastica, the College of St. Scholastica is one of our ministries. And so what I do in the football field, it's really about fulfilling our mission of spreading the mission of the college and instilling values and helping these young men to be who and how God is calling them to be. I just get to do it on the football field.
Nice, nice. I just have to ask, are you, I assume you follow certain teams anyway outside of St. Scholastica, mm-hmm. On the college and the pro realms. Is that true?
It is true. I would have to admit I'm pretty much of a homer. I'm from Minnesota, born and raised, and so I do follow Minnesota teams, the Vikings and, you know, the University of Minnesota and different colleges around here.
Nice, nice. Okay. And do you follow other sports as well?
I do. I really do enjoy sports. Probably my first love has always been the Minnesota Twins. Mm. But whatever season it is, I'm involved in that. Like now that our football season is done, I've been at a bunch of College of St. Scholastica hockey games, and our basketball seasons are getting going. So if it's sports and it's involved in where our young people are and how I can bring the mission and the love of God to them, and enjoy a good game, I'll be there.
Right, exactly. And actually, that's a good lead in to what I was asking, or I'm going to be asking next, which is, so how do you see, I asked you about your own personal life, but how do you see sports and either philosophically or people's participation in sports, how do you see that as actually a way of enriching others' spiritual lives, others' lives of faith as well?
Well, it's really a way of learning the disciplines and the dedication, and it's a way of putting your faith into action that's tangible. You know, it gives you an opportunity to practice hospitality. It gives you an opportunity to practice respect for one another and to be disciplined and give glory to God with your gifts and talents. Mm-hmm. You know, the scripture talks about giving God glory to God through our bodies and through our talents, and if you have the talent of sports and where you learn teamwork and hard work and dedication, and you learn the idea of putting other people first, the good of the team before my good, those are all things we need in our spiritual life and in our life as people of God.
Yeah, no question. So sports, I know, can have a bit of an ugly side as well. There can be, either competition taken to extreme or I suppose at least in the professional realm, you know, there's a number of different ways where there's arguments about players getting overcompensated or getting too egotistical and things like that. So what would you say in response to that, is this just a privation, if you will, of what sports are really truly intended to be?
Well, the beautiful thing about what we do here at the College of St. Scholastica, we're a D3 program, and so we have what's best about sports, that it's really about it for the love of the game and the good of your team. And it does sadden me when you see those things that defame what sports can do for us. And the great thing about what we get to do here is we get to talk about our values. So when things don't go right or when someone does not act the right way, we always talk in our program about doing the next best right thing. And so that's a great thing that we get to pull the values and say, hey, you know, it is about winning and losing, but it's more about being a good person. It's more about doing the right thing. And so I think when you look at sports in that way, they can bring about glory to God.
Yeah, it's a great point. And can you talk a little bit more about specifically, actually, how sports is maybe a contributor to our faith life? What are some of the ways that our faith life, I mean, do you see specifically some of your players who you can tell have a rich, profound faith life, how they bring that onto the field with them?
It is a beautiful thing. You know, a lot of people think that I'm on the team so that I can influence our young men to have a more spiritual life. But I have to tell you, I am edified by the way these young men live out their faith and live out their relationship with God in an everyday. I see it by the conversations I have with them. I see it by the way that they are reflective. I see it by the way that they treat one another. And the fact that they don't separate one from the other is a beautiful thing. And I think that's what my part of the team is about, that we don't separate ourselves. Oh, we're going to be holy now, and now we're going to be about sports. Because St. Benedict says, as we all know, everything is a gift from God, and so we can glorify God in all the things that we do.
Yeah, well, absolutely right. I mean, of course, we have to understand and enter into this life with everything being a gift from God. And I can just see many, many examples of how that can be rightly used, and I'm glad to hear that at the College of St. Scholastic, you know, that's part of what's going on, is that you're integrating, as it were. And so, speaking of that integration, how do you see that playing out actually in the students' academic lives as well? So, do you see it I'm assuming you're pushing for a kind of a whole life integration of this life of faith and these particular faith-based values that these young men are having.
That is a beautiful thing, again, about what we do at the College of St. Scholastica, and I pray that, you know, all student-athletes are about, but it is really, again, about using all of your gifts and being a well-rounded person and being accountable on the football field and in the classroom is really a part of being who and how God is calling them to be.
Okay, and so once again, returning to the upcoming event that you are coming down here to the Twin Cities to speak on Thursday, December 1st at this Women, Wine, and Wisdom event. Again, the event is titled Ever Feel Like You Want to Punt? Tackling Life with Joy. Keynote speaker, our guest right now, is Sister Lisa Maurer. And so, Sister, if you could just give, say, maybe particular words, you've already given voice to this once, but just to revisit it, particular words that you're going to be focusing on as how at this event, as how we can actually bring these faith-based values into our life today?
Yeah, I'm going to give practical examples about how, you know, hospitality is really welcoming all of those things that God brings to us, you know, the sunshine and the rain, and how we can be people of joy in all of those things, and how stewardship, taking good care of all of those gifts, is important, and being a respectful person, and acting with justice, that idea of doing what we're supposed to do in the way we're supposed to, because that's what we're supposed to do. And so I really think it's a way that we can increase our faith and that we can be strengthened in our life with our God.
So I just heard in that little snippet you gave, joy, stewardship, mm-hmm. respect, justice, hospitality, strength, and faith. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a pretty good list of things that would turn out. Now, here's the clincher question, though, sister. Do you have to know football in order to attend this event?
Of course not. Of course not. That just happens to be the teaser and the vehicle to get me down there. But really, what I talk about is universal, because we are all on this journey. We are all on a life of faith, and these values we're going to talk about are universal.
Wonderful. My guest has been Sister Lisa Maurer. Sister, thank you so much for joining us today on the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you.
And Kelly, who is still in the studio with us here. Kelly, if people want to register for this event, how should they do so?
Yes, they fear not any drills. She's not going to make us do any drills, so maybe some spiritual ones. They can register at catholicvineyard.com, and I would highly encourage you to register in the next few days, because it is filling up.
It's filling up. Yeah. Yep. And again, the event is, ever feel like you want to punt, Tackling Life with Joy, keynote speaker Sister Lisa Maurer, who is the kicking and punting coach for the College of St. Scholastica football team. It's taking place Thursday, December 1st at 7 p.m. at the Royal Cliff Banquet and Conference Center in Eagan. So that's what's coming up, and I think maybe we should take a look at some of the other things that are coming up. Is that right, Paul?
Got a couple of other things, too. Well, the Jubilee Year of Mercy is coming to a close, so you can join with others from around the Archdiocese in celebrating God's great mercy at the closing of this Jubilee Year of Mercy. Archbishop Bernard Hebda, I got that right now, will close the Holy Door, and he'll celebrate Mass on Sunday, November 20th, 6:30 p.m. at the Basilica of St. Mary in Minneapolis.
Wine, here it is. Women in the New Evangelization would like to invite women to an evening of faith, fellowship, and fun. On Thursday, December 1st, Wine will hold a Women, Wine, and Wisdom event at the Royal Cliff Banquet and Conference Center in Eagan. The evening will begin at 7 p.m. with a social hour, followed by a speaker who truly knows how to get a kick out of life, one of only two women in the country who coach college football, Sister Lisa Maurer. Sister Lisa will present Ever Feel Like You Want to Punt, Tackling Life with Joy. The cost is $25 before November 21st. That's coming up soon. Space is limited, so be sure to reserve your spot today. For more information and to register, visit www.catholicvineyard.com.
Young adults, college age, and older are invited to Cor Jesu. Join in the Eucharistic adoration, confession, praise, and worship music, and fellowship at St. Mary's Chapel at the St. Paul Seminary in St. Paul. The next Cor Jesu will take place from 8 to 10 p.m. Friday, December 2nd. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org.
Women are invited to join for an Advent Morning of Reflection presented by the St. Paul and Minneapolis Archdiocesan Council of Catholic Women on Saturday, December 3rd from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at St. Peter's in Mendota Heights. Invite your mother, aunts, daughters, sisters, and friends. The theme for this morning is The Year of Mercy, Where Do We Go From Here? The day includes talks by Dr. Anne Marie Klein, Father Michael Becker, and Mass with Bishop Andrew Cousins. The cost is $15 if you register before November 23rd and $20 thereafter. For more information, visit the events page on archspm.org or call 651-291-4545.
Spotlight Family Theater is a group of Catholic homeschooled youth developing their God-given talents to glorify Him through the performing arts. And this December, the theater is proud to present It's a Wonderful Life at Holy Family Academy in St. Louis Park. Bring your family, enjoy this inspirational classic Christmas story. Seating is general admission. Free will offering will be accepted. The show runs December 9th, 10th, 16th, and 17th. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Show begins at 7 p.m. For more information, call Karen 612-236-5568 or visit spotlightft.wixsite.com/shows. just call the phone number, 612-236-5568, and attaboy, Clarence.
Very good, Paul. You are invited to the Knights of Columbus Lumberjack Breakfast on Sunday, December 11th from 8:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. at Mary Queen of Peace Church Hall in downtown Rogers. Pancakes, French toast, sausage and eggs. Boy, now I'm getting hungry. And more are on the menu. A free will offering will be accepted to benefit the church, school, and community. For more information, call 763-428-2585.
That is a longtime tradition at Mary Queen of Peace in Rogers. I remember the slogan used to be, "You better come hungry."
That's very good.
What do we have next week on the Rediscover Hour?
Yeah, well, you know,
we'll be here on Black Friday.
Absolutely. Well, you know, yeah, I was going to say, we do have this thing called Thanksgiving coming up. We also have Black Friday. So join us next week. We're going to talk with Father John Ubel, rector of the Cathedral of St. Paul and commissioned as a missionary of mercy by Pope Francis, as well as Archbishop Bernard Hebda. Father Ubel and Archbishop Hebda will speak on the conclusion of the Year of Mercy. We will also be joined by Father John Paul Erickson, who will speak on how to counter the materialistic mentality that so often rises up around Black Friday and the Christmas season. Just something that I've always had, I don't know, a raspberry seed of my wisdom tooth, right? About this Thanksgiving, and then we go straight into the materialism of Black Friday.
That sounds like it hurts.
Well, I think it does. Tune in next week as we hear from Father John Paul Erickson. And until then, happy Thanksgiving, go to church, and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.